Well, it's good to see everybody here and getting a chance to talk a little bit, but I think we should get started. We have a lot to cover this evening. I'm Paul Gotland, and will be kind of your guide to thinking about retirement tonight. We're hoping to just give you a chance to think about things, to generate questions, and then we'll have an amazing panel of retirees that can answer your questions at the end. So just run through the plans for the evening. Wanted to mention that we are trying to record this just with audio, and that would be for purposes of generating a transcript. Don't know if we'll ever do that or not, but just in case. But we're just recording from the sound system, so talking at your tables will be just fine. Once I get through our agenda and some introductions, we'll have a table discussion where you can just share your names. I think many of you have already, and maybe just mention where you are with respect to retirement. Then I'll talk a little bit about just thinking about retirement in general. And again, throw a lot of things at you, really just trying to give you some ideas of ways to think about it. We'll have a short discussion again where you can mention your personal retirement highlight or dream depending on what stage you're at. And then hopefully we'll have some brave people that will want to share that with the whole group so we can gain perspective from each other. And we'll talk a little bit more about retirement and transition tips. This is kind of loosely differentiated from the thinking about retirement, but it'll tend to be along the line of tips, but again, to get you thinking. And then kind of the main course of the evening is to have a question and answer period with the panel. So I wanted to actually read a little bit about the panel, folks, so I don't forget what I wanted to say. But really joining me on the panel to answer questions during the second half of the evening are five truly remarkable people, and I'll ask you to stand when I give you your name. I really can't do them justice with a real brief introduction, but I wanted to mention a few things that will show kind of a wide range of perspectives that they will offer here. So first, Annette Gotland, who has the misfortune of being my wife, so she's stuck with me all the time. She followed a retirement dream of writing her own software, and then going through that process realized, well, maybe other people could benefit from knowing what I was involved in, so then she wrote a book and published it herself. So things have kind of just taken off for her with her retirement. Thanks. Dwayne Hoven. Dwayne retired as directing pastor here 20 years ago, and he felt called to retirement, which really struck me at the time, and I hope we get a chance to discuss that some more. A significant activity for Dwayne has been creating written and oral histories. So he's been capturing relatives and others, people's stories and memories. Thank you, Dwayne. Tim Moline. Tim has a strong financial background, and he's the most recently retired member of the panel. I think it was the end of last year, right, Tim? Okay. He volunteers in a number of ways, and he's already helped his family with multiple handyman construction projects since he retired. So people have been taking the opportunity to take some of his time here. So Eddie Murai. Eddie is pretty much the dictionary definition of an active person. She swims 3 times a week. When the weather is warmer, she golfs nearly every day, walks the course herself all the time. Basically, everybody wants to be like Addie when they reach her age, which is 59. Thank you, Addie. Steve Ronigan. Steve is a retired pastor and Navy chaplain who recently interrupted his retirement long enough to help us out at Zumbel, serving as a part-time visitation pastor. And one thing that he's found very rewarding during retirement is an artistic bent of writing poetry. Thank you, Steve. So next, let's just join in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this chance to be together and to think about what a blessing retirement can be. Amen. So now I get to quit talking for a little while, and if you just take a few minutes to talk at your tables, introduce yourselves if you haven't already, and just where are you with respect to retirement?
Well, I hate to break up a good conversation, but we should probably get back to our program a bit here.
again, one of the goals is just to kind of expand your retirement outlook, whether you're thinking about retiring or whether you've already retired. Really, because retirement equals a wide range of opportunities. So my hope is that by thinking about that, you can work out for yourselves what kind of retirement will work best for you. So we'll talk a little bit about time, reflection of yourself, essentially, relationships, service, learning, and exercise. And again, this is just to get you thinking about things here. We're fortunate enough to go to the Grand Canyon last year, and it seems like a great place to think about expanding your horizons. Amazing views, and then when you think about the amount of time it took to cut a canyon of this size, you really get a feeling of the depth of time as well. Is this going to work? Okay. So you can really think of time as our most precious gift. You can't buy more time. You can't save it up. You have what you have, and you really would like to take the best advantage of that. So I like to think of retirement as giving you control over a larger time reservoir. When you retire, you get to build up your time structure, and that's really kind of an adventure to decide how you're going to use those extra moments that you've been given. It really reduces stress, because one of the main causes of stress is a feeling of lack of control. And so having more control over time does an amazing amount to just take your stress away. You can also do what's needed when it's needed. If you think about times when you've had cases where you've had friends and relatives in the hospital or that needed help with something and work kinds of things got in the way, a lot of those factors are removed for you. It might open options to affect society at large. Not many of us will decide to run for public office or come up with the next thing that saves all kinds of misery and maybe prevents, you know, 5% of young people from starting to smoke or something like that. But you have a much better chance of being able to do that once you're retired. And then there's always trying something new and taking a long view of that. Saw a great quote in one of the books of, let's say you always wanted to learn a musical instrument. And now everybody in this room has had the perspective of some years. Before it was, oh boy, if I have to practice, it might take a year or two before I can do that. And now you can say, if it takes a decade, I'll be good in a decade. I'll just give you some simple implications examples. Don't expect these to be profound, but it's very hard to think about what retirement's like until you're there. And so a couple of examples for us were just buying a Zoom membership. Well, what's that all about? Gee, now we can go to the zoo in the middle of the day when the weather's nice. So we think we'll go the two or three times that it takes to make the membership pay for itself. And then, well, gee, if I can go to the zoo whenever I want to, I really don't have to go there for 8 hours and make my back and feet sore. I can go for 2 hours someday if that's what I want to do and then leave, and it doesn't cost me anymore. So again, just a simple thing. A bigger one for us, at least, was our outlook on winter. Annette hates the cold, always has, even though she's from North Dakota. I haven't been a real big fan. But recently we started, because of our daughter essentially, started snowshoeing. What a difference this year, just having that outlet made and being retired and being able to take advantage of it when you want to. So the end of February, all through March, when most people are just really tired of winter, we'd say, great, we can go snowshoeing again now. Because we could go, you know, Monday afternoon, Tuesday morning, right after we got the fresh snow. So again, just trying to give you a few things to just think about to start the process rolling to see what would work best for you. Reflection is really just understanding more deeply who you've become over this time. I think when we're working, we tend to just be moving right along, kind of barely hanging on to the weekend, until the weekend sometime before you can catch up on some chores and things. And now you really get a chance to step back and think about what's happened to me over the years and what do I want to do now? What's important to me in life? I'll just mention a couple of self-assessment examples that have come up from a book called Supercharged Retirement. Terrible name, really pretty good book. It's listed on the resource sheet that you'll be able to take along to study things more on your own if you'd like. One of the sections of that talks about the map of me. And it's really a nice set of questions to kind of lead you through what's important in your life. What things do you value the most? Another part of that was creating some top 10 lists. And Annette and I did a number of these together about places we'd like to visit, things we'd like to do, what kinds of things we'd like to focus on, just listing them in some kind of order to just kind of compare notes with that. The book Halftime introduced the idea of seismic testing. And the idea there is just rather than having to, it's really about, you know, before oil companies drill, they do seismic testing to see what might be there. And he views that as talking with friends and other people close to you about what they see you doing when you retire. Because it's amazing what kind of insights we can get from other people sometimes, things that we wouldn't even thought of for ourselves that once somebody else mentions it, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, that's a real strong idea. That book also leads through a set of questions, and one that struck me was, what have you done uncommonly well? We all have strengths and weaknesses, but there are some things we've done well, and we can focus on those and think about how we can springboard from that into our retirement and choosing other activities, and we'll talk much more about that later. Really like this quote from Claiming Your Place at the Fire, that increased attention to one's own story comes with it a deeper appreciation for the stories of others. And I think that's so true. It's much easier to be empathetic with people when you stop and think back through the own story of your life and see where at various times you might have been in a place where someone else is now, for example. And then another great question to just think about for retirement is, what do you want to be remembered for? I personally don't want to be remembered for working for IBM for 33 years. It was a good thing to do, but that's not what I'll choose to be remembered for if I can make something else happen here. Relationships. Again, more things to think about. More time for relationships is pretty clear once you're retired. Better quality time is one step removed. Think about all the times you've come home from work frazzled and either interacting with your spouse or having a chance to go out with friends. And it's just not the same kind of quality time as you have when you're less stressed out about things. You can contact more people or contact people more, individual people, but choose the people that you'd like to influence your life. Those are the folks you want to stay in contact with or develop more contacts with. And I think an important part of that is thinking back to a time when someone reaching out has made a difference to you. I was struck as I was working on this presentation 2-3 weeks ago. Over the course of 2 days, I had 3 close friends that sent something or called me and talked with me about something that just really made my day. And if you think about that as motivation, just think what you reaching out to other people and having more time to do that might, how that might make a difference to them. Kind of a fascinating topic that I thought about a while before I retired was which work relationships would carry over. At work, you have this kind of enforced environment of working alongside some people, having daily contact with them in many cases. Often you get along great, but do you do anything out of work, you know, outside of work? Don't really know. And this had seemed like kind of a mystery until recently, and I think it's just like any other relationship. It's which ones do you want to work? Which people will you reach out to rather than waiting for them to reach out to you. You're the retired one now, maybe. So why don't you invite other people to be in contact with you? Service, I think, is an important part of our lives. And again, a couple quotes here. Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." And Albert Schweitzer, "The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought and found how to serve." Don't need to elaborate on their thoughts, very important ones. I think an important thing to think about for some of us is leaving a job that serves others doesn't end your service. It can be harder if you're a social worker or a doctor or a pastor sometimes to think about retiring. But even though it might change how and who you serve, you'll still have many, many opportunities to serve. Halftime throws out the idea of moving from success to significance. Again, we spend a good part of our lives trying to pay the bills and put food on the table for our families, maybe get ahead in our careers. Think about retirement as an opportunity to move to significance in terms of the lives of other people, perhaps. So other quick things to consider as you're thinking about what retirement can be like is ongoing help to relatives. One of the real blessings of my retirement has been I'm happy to have both parents still alive, and so each week we're able to go to Albert Lea and spend some really good time with them. You can offer short notice help to people. I had a good friend who moved recently, ended up having to move in the middle of the week, and it was easy for me to say, yeah, I can come and help you that day. Again, just things to think about that you can possibly do. And then, of course, there are tons and tons of volunteer choices. There's lots of needs in the world. Mentioned a few examples on the resource sheet that you can take with you, but there are many, many, many things to do if you want to seek those out. I'll just say learning for its own sake is really fun. One of the things I've been doing with retirement is taking some college courses on DVD on a wide variety of topics that I didn't know anything about and that won't matter probably to my life if I know about oceanography or linguistics or structural design or things like that. But what a joy to just be able to learn for the sake of learning without tests or papers to do or anything else. So keep that in mind as a key component of what you can do. The really great news that's been coming out really just within the last decade, I think, from what I've read, is that your ability to learn changes very little with age. It used to be thought that your ability to learn dropped off significantly, and that's really not true. It turns out that you don't want to take a timed test against a 20-year-old, probably, because things slow down a little bit, but you're fully capable of learning new things, even learning new languages. Again, you won't learn a foreign language or a new language as readily as a toddler who's getting their brains wired with the language as they go along, but you can learn a new language. Age doesn't stop that ability at all. New things are very important for stimulating our brains. There's, a great amount of research that said just having new things happen does things to your brain chemistry and even helps with generating cells and blood vessels to your brain. So you want to take a chance to try out new things, even if you're like me and you're usually a stick in the mud. But skip through a little bit here. The idea of low-cost probes from Halftime is really trying something out. You know, it's the try before you buy kind of thing, but in this case, for activities, where you volunteer on a short-term basis to see how that works for you, or you try learning an instrument that you wanted to learn, whatever it might be. But just start with a limited commitment instead of signing up for 5 years of something as you're getting going. from the book Wrapped, there's this notion of a daily vacation, and whether you're retired or not, what a fantastic idea. The thought is for 20 to 30 minutes once a day, you focus on something that you either really enjoy or that you think you might enjoy. At the end of the day, you revisit that experience for a few minutes and kind of plan your next day's daily vacation. And they said people that tried this for a week were amazed at how much better they felt at the end of that week compared to other ones. And then they realized, I could just keep doing this. Just something to keep in mind there. And again, tons of resources available for learning, and I've tried to point a few more out on the resource sheet that you can take with you. Exercise, both mind and body advantages. Having a little trouble reading the quote, and I want to get that part right, so let me move over here and be in somebody else's way now. More and more research shows that the key to keeping your mind sharp as you age is staying physically active. That's from How to Love Your Retirement. And The Gift of Years tells us, but tiredness is what creates tiredness. The only way to get over being tired is to do something. And so it's really just the prospect of getting going with something. If you're kind of tight with money like I am, another great way to think about it is, you know, if I exercise, this is going to save me money in the long run. It's amazing how much of a difference just some regular exercise can make in your medical bills as you age. It doesn't hurt to feel better at the time either from the exercise. If that's been difficult for you, like it was for me a great amount of time I was working, you can think about how being retired means you don't have to force exercise in it at some difficult time for you, either before or after work, which I think is a real struggle that a lot of people have. And the two birds with one stone kind of thing, you can strengthen relationships while getting your exercise too. Okay, let's take a few minutes out again and talk about what might be a personal highlight or dream for you for retirement. And then hopefully after we've had a few minutes to talk about that, we can have some people that are share with the group. Well, it's great to see all the good conversation going on, but I think we should continue to honor everyone's time and make sure we have lots of time for questions and answers. Rather than having you share with a larger group, I think we'll just forge on. We'll have to just go with the fact that you learned what was going on in the local neighborhood there. So I'd like to talk through a few tips, and that hoping that these will give you just some ideas of things that have worked that we've either experienced ourselves or that I've read about. They might end up helping in a little bit in some small way, or that will generate questions again for our Q&A time. So talk a little bit about self-identity, relationships again, place, which seems to be an important choice for some folks, choosing activities, and then a real brief financial tips. I was given this when I retired from some colleagues, a little sticky that says, do not go to work today. And again, after a long career, that was a real helpful reminder. I didn't really need it, but it just goes to show what a big change it is to retire. And so that can affect kind of how you think about yourself. No matter what the circumstances were, whether you felt a calling to be retired because you knew that was something that was important for you then, or if you're forced into retirement, or if you retired because you just had enough of things, or maybe you retired because you're just fired up to do something completely different. No matter what the circumstances were, it'll change how others view you, and it'll definitely change how you view yourself. Really important that our self-view be more than just what we do for work. And again, I'll have to get in the way here because I don't want to blow the quote. But we matter not because of our achievements, but because we are loved by God and loved by people around us from living a life that matters. Just can't stress enough how important it is to have that be part of your identity, as your web of relationships, both with God and with other people. Halftime talks about the notion of discovering the task for which you were made, which is kind of a neat way to think about it. God uses, and not causes, in my humble opinion at least, the key life events to our benefit. And so you can think about, just go back over your life and consider key choices that were made or things that happened and how that affected you as time went on and how that made you part of what you are today. And then maybe to get a different perspective, treat that as a biography, as if you're reading it about someone else's life. Sometimes we're a little too close to things to realize that, you know, if I read about that in somebody else's biography, I'd think that was pretty cool. And again, to me, the most important part of self-identity is realizing that God loves you flaws and all. God isn't wrong to love you if you become what would be the perfect you. He just loves us as we are. Retirement's a big enough transition, it's worth talking about, both ahead of time and afterwards, especially if you have a spouse. Otherwise, with close friends. Really needs to be kind of a joint and overall decision there. And then one thing that I've found is that I'd like to pass along is that social media is no substitute for individual interactions. Things like Facebook have their place. I keep in touch with some number of people through Facebook that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. But think about what it means to you if somebody broadcasts something, even if it's fairly important about their life, versus if they sent you a directed email or gave you a call. And so just think about that as you're interacting with other people, that it's not just sitting back and sending a text or making a post, that individual interactions are still very important. If you have a partner or a spouse, depending on how you look at it, separate spaces and multiple high-use items are really important. My wife and I both use the computer a lot, and if we were trying to share one computer in one place, this would not be a good thing. So we have two computers in separate rooms. We can spend all the time we want with each other, but when we're doing this other kind of activity, we have our own spot for it. Think about some responsibility adjustments. One of the things we've tried to do is kind of balance out the overall time that we have committed to either work or kind of chores around the house. And so when I retired, it was really time to start doing the bills again and getting some groceries and just some things like that. So just factor that into your plans and how you're thinking about it. And then the quote from Wrapped was, when I can't fathom something that a dear one has just said or done, I try to remember that he or she focuses on a different world and ask for some illumination. It's too easy as we go through life together with somebody to think that they are having the exact same experience we are, when in fact each individual focuses on different things, even that are occurring at the same time, plus they have a bunch of their own experiences. So often, difficulties arise just because you're viewing other people as having the same mindset as you, or having looked at something that just happened in the same way as you did, when in reality, their view is completely different. Place. You're not going to believe this the way it's been lately, but some people give too high a priority to climate. That's been shown in a lot of research. Really need to think about how to make your important relationships easier with family and friends, folks that you need to have, again, direct individual interactions with. And then consider all of your interactions. You don't stop and think about, boy, if I were to move someplace else, I'm picking a different church, doctor, people to play cards with, book study group, and on down the line. If you'd like to move someplace, there's a real interesting website called Find Your Spot Com, and you fill out a bunch of criteria. It asks, it's been a while, but a dozen or even two dozen questions about things that you prefer, and then it'll suggest places to go within the United States, for example. So that's just kind of an interesting thing to do, and try that again with your spouse and compare notes sometime to see how that comes out. Then again, from claiming your place at the fire, home was the place they were most needed and the place where their own needs were best met. Can't say it any better than that one. Choosing activities from How to Love Your Retirement. Really love the feeling here is give the things in your heart time to bubble up. I got some great advice from Dwayne Hovind when I retired. I was thinking about taking a month off and figuring it out before I dived into things. This is after 33 years where I took one two-week vacation. And Dwayne said, Paul, take the summer. I'm probably taking even more than that to figure things out, but such a good advice to let this new reality kind of sink in a little bit. Do some of the self-assessment things that we talked about. Take some time to reflect and figure out what you want to do. You get to construct it from scratch here. Take the opportunity. At least for me, it's important to keep a sizable amount of time unplanned. Not everybody needs that, but for me, it's personal serenity. But it's also, you know, your availability should be a strength, again, to help others or to pick up and do something like lead a seminar on retirement. Definitely act on your dreams. If you haven't acted on your dreams by the time you retire, when are you going to do it if you don't, when you retire? Give yourself some time, really stop and consider what those are, and then go after those. You've probably heard in a number of places to match passions and strengths with others' needs. So you can share skills by mentoring people. SCORE is the Service Corps of Retired Executives that helps new businesses get started, or maybe you want to start a business on the side, working your own hours. Another helpful thing to do is to project your weekly hour allocations to help you set priorities. So there are 168 hours in a week. How would you like to spend them? It's really like budgeting your time. Or you've definitely heard the saying, I'm sure, that your calendar is your creed, because what you do are the things that you really end up believing in. Here you can take some time to figure those out ahead of time, pardon me, to decide how to allocate your time. Have you ever gone through a couple days and you just felt like, I just didn't quite make it? There's something wrong. Things are okay, but just didn't feel very good about it. Rapp tells us that if you pick things that are enjoyable plus require some focus or skill, now you're going to have an enriched experience. Because otherwise, it says it's like the temporal equivalent of junk food. If you end up playing solitaire for 6 hours a day, you're not going to have a very enriching experience, right? Again, retirement years are perfect for creative expansion. The experiences that you've had, and I think we all have kind of a yearning for discovery. At least that's the thesis from that book. Holds true for a lot of people. Try music, try art, try a technical thing if your work has been something different than that. How to Love Your Retirement has a great idea of how to share your values by writing down an ethical will to give to your children and friends. The things that you view how it's important for people to treat each other, for example. Take some time to write that out, and I think it's a very good exercise for understanding yourself as well. Working part-time? Maggie Bartels tells me that working part-time, she learned two words, yes and no. and it's working great for her. I believe she worked as a nurse. She liked her job. But it's so wonderful to work a shift now and then as opposed to working full time. And so when she has other things planned, she says no. Otherwise, she can help fill in and help people out and also get some enjoyment from that work, working as a supplemental. And then a really important point, I think, is to periodically evaluate whether or not you want to continue doing each activity. Again, when we're working, it's just kind of like you know you're going to continue working. You're still paying for things and supporting yourself and your family. But once you're retired, you have much more freedom to say, you know, I started learning to play the piano and I spent 6 months on it and it's not really what I wanted. Maybe I'll try something different. Financial stuff. We could talk a lot about this. I'm definitely no financial expert, but I'll just mention a few things that might help. If you haven't already, develop a budget. If you don't know how much you're spending, it's really hard to decide if you have enough saved to retire. If you're willing to be flexible in your spending, that can help you in a couple ways. One is once you're retired and you don't have a regular income coming in, if your investments do poorly in some given year and you're able to cut down on your spending, then you're not withdrawing at their low point and essentially selling low. Or another way to look at things, or another aspect of that, is medical costs are a really big unknown for most of us. And so what helped us make the decision was travel is something we'd like to do, but it's not terribly important to us. It's not a top priority. And so we budgeted what was likely to be a maximum out-of-pocket medical expense. And then in years when we don't spend that, we have a pool of money to spend on travel subsequently. So it just cuts down on the overall budget that you need to figure out in order to see how long your savings will last. Really getting on thin ice now, but I'll throw out a few more of these things. If you work with a financial advisor, a lot of people recommend choosing one who charges fees for a given thing, like an hour's worth of work or a financial withdrawal plan or something like that. If an advisor works on commission, no matter how hard they try, they've got an incentive working against you that the more they sell and churn things, the better off they are, and they're trying to feed their families too. Low-cost index funds are a great way to avoid the management game that they talk about. Management is active managed mutual funds, which tend to cost more. And you'll see that, you know, this fund manager has beaten the S&P 500 the last 5 years in a row. They can't keep doing that. There are a couple of reasons. One is that nobody can guess where the markets are going that well. And another one is funds that do really well take in a lot more money, and now they have to buy lesser investments to invest that money. K's and IRAs hopefully have some balances there. Unfortunately, you got to remember that the government owns a chunk of that. You can't just withdraw that money, and then how you choose to withdraw it will depend in part on what kind of taxes you would have to pay then. You don't want to take out a big lump sum, for example, some year if at all possible, because your tax rate goes up on the most of that. Kind of the standard rule of thumb for a safe yearly withdrawal rate so your money doesn't run out is 4% and then adjusted from inflation. But I've read two or three different studies that say, if you're able to be flexible somewhat in your spending, you can probably withdraw at a higher rate and not run out. And so that reduces, in effect, the amount of money you need before you can retire or the amount of investments. And then finally, even a high deductible medical plan does a couple things for you. It often pays for preventative care. And it can also reduce charges even if even if you haven't even met your deductible yet, the fact that you've got that insurance sometimes reduces the charge for a given procedure. So now let's get to the good part of the evening. Instead of me babbling, we'll have questions and answers, and if the panel folks can come up to the front here. You can either direct questions to a specific person or the whole group if you wish. We'll do the best that we can and really hope that this generates a lot of discussion for the whole group. And again, there are the panel members listed there. And then Barb Peterson over here has agreed to run the microphone around to people asking questions. Please wait for the mic so that everybody can hear. We can. I think we can make it over there. Okay.
But if you just want to hold it in between times just so that it doesn't hit the table all the time. Okay. Questions for our panel? Of course, way in the back. I'm still younger than you, though, so I can.
I want to hear some more from Pastor Hovind about feeling called to retirement. So tell me more. Come on, Dwayne. Talk about that. What did that feel like?
I think in the ministry, you're sort of coached early on to respond to God's call. And how much you are aware of that call varies from individual to individual. I must say that I never heard the Holy Spirit speak real clearly so that I didn't doubt but what I was supposed to go here or there. But I did sense in each move in the ministry that there was a sense of correctness, that it was the thing to do. It felt good after the fact. I think when it came to retirement, I'd been in the ministry 36 years, and I was 62. My mom went into a nursing home at 56 years of age with bad diabetes, was blind, and life was not good. And my dad dropped dead at 72. And there was many things I wanted to do yet in retirement, and I used that language here a few weeks ago when we had a group discussing retirement, and I expressed the fact that I sensed the call to retirement, and I did. I sensed that my ministry here had been good, fulfilling. I felt good about it. I felt ready to move on, and I've never regretted that move. I think that's kind of key. My identity was not hooked up with being a pastor, and I think as we look at all of you in your, whoever you are and whatever you do, I think that's a key issue, how tied you are to that identity as a financial advisor, an IBMer, a doctor, whatever. I think that's something you've got to struggle with. And for me, I was ready to let go of that and to move on, and to the world was very exciting beyond that, and it still is. A quick response, Vern, to that question.
If you would raise your hand, and then I'll know who to go to.
As you think about, as I'm thinking about early retirement, at least from Mayo Clinic, not from Zumbro. That was for Vern. And Christy, I guess. She's really my boss here. What are some of the pitfalls? What are some of the things, when I say early retirement, I mean before one is Social Security or Medicare eligible, so before age 62. What are some of the things to be aware of and some of the potential pitfalls of that?
Well, I suppose this is going to fall on me because I'm in the financial industry, or was, and I hope I don't have my identity, use that as my identity. I think I have identity support separate from that. But, obviously the longer you work, the more the Social Security will build up to age 70. And I'll use myself as an example. I wasn't sure when I should retire. Obviously, throughout my career, I kept looking at whether I'd have enough to retire and enough, and you keep looking year after year how I think I'd be able to retire. My thought was I would retire when I could get the most Social Security, which was at age 70. The closer I got to age 70, the less important that seemed to me. It seemed more important to me to do something to enjoy life while I still could. Health becomes an issue. And I know we all could live a lot longer, but I think it's kind of how you feel about how your family, your life expectancy might be. So a little bit of that was involved. I made it to 68, thinking I was going to get to 70, but I finally said, you know, enough is enough. I don't know when I'll have enough money. So the money wasn't the issue any longer. It was more, what can I do? What do I enjoy doing? So preparing for it, obviously, you want to be as well prepared as you can, but you never know what catastrophes might happen in life. And so I just wouldn't wait too long, Bob.
Excuse me, Ann.
I can maybe, if I get this on, okay. I can maybe just add a little bit more to that since I was able to retire a little bit early. Is that a couple things to think about are when you can get at 401k money, and it's normally thought to be 59 and a half, but it's really 55 if your 401k is with the employer that you retire from. So that's an important one, and I don't know what Mayo is like for medical, but it turned out in working for IBM, we had a little money put aside for medical insurance, but it works out a lot better for me to get a high deductible plan on my own and then save that money until I'm closer to 65 and Medicare eligible, and then because you can only use the IBM money for IBM insurance, so it's a little different situation. But so medical and when you can get at 401k monies probably are the things to think about.
Yeah, let me add one thing too.
One more. We can hear you.
It's the red button on the bottom, and there needs to be.
Can you hear me out?
No.
Yes, we can hear you.
No. Just try.
I'll talk loudly.
We can use this one too.
You know, I went through the financial planning also, and that's one side that I thought was helpful, but. I would add that there were also a couple of our church colleges had a retreats, vocation retreats, that were really helpful in trying to identify who I am and where God is calling me. But I thought that was particularly helpful, and also the ELCA that had a retirement seminar that looked at more than just the financial. So. I felt that was really important for me because I wasn't sure, and that was that kind of a process with others and a lot of conversations with people that helped me.
So I'll raise a question, and this might be a controversial question, but, you know, there's always the conversation or the about how does it affect your marriage when your spouse retires, or you retire, and find yourself in a new rhythm of life. What are some surprises, or what might be your thoughts and recommendations?
Your time.
I'll give you one thought. My husband retired before I did, and so I would say to him every day, you know, the basement really needs to be cleaned. Every night when I came home, I'd say, how was the basement? He'd said, well, it was too nice. I had to golf today.
I should mention that I retired 3 years before Paul. So I said I wanted to get my routines established before he retired so I would know what I'm doing and I could keep everything going. I was worried that once he retired that he'd be following me around, what should we do now? What are you doing? And all this stuff. It hasn't been a problem. He's he's got his own projects that he's working on, and we've each got our own thing, and in fact, I find myself searching him out more often. Well, let's do something together, just because there are so many things that we both want to be doing, so we're just busy. So I'll leave it at that.
I was just going to ask how closely you thought your retirement matches what your vision was for it, and how many of you are just off someplace else in some happy accident, and just kind of curious to...
I'll start. I think it took me more like 2 years to kind of process and think, and then Vern asked me to do something, and that kind of threw me off for a time. But so I think it's been a much more of a slow process for me, and I need time to think about that, and to talk with my spouse and to talk with others, with children and friends to see how it unfolds. And one thing I was just thinking about, that one thing I did was I did 40 days, and that's kind of a nice number, and it seems like a lot of good things happen in 40, the number 40. So that 40-day period was something that I took just intentionally to pray and to read scripture and to try to discern where God is leading.
I read the want ads for many days because I thought I should be doing something. I've never had this much free time. And then we had guests over a Sunday night, and they didn't seem to want to go, and I thought, I got to get ready for work tomorrow, you better. And then I thought, oh, you idiot, you don't work anymore. And then I thought, okay.
Well, I'm just still experimenting because I'm only 3.5 months into retirement. But what I found so far is that I'm busier than I was when I was working, because there's more things that I can be involved in. What I like about it is it's my choice rather than the choice of my employer. But what I've also discovered is what I want to do is discover some new things. So I'm trying out some new things, which is really keeping me busy. Doing a little fly fishing, doing some repair work for some of my kids at their home. Just getting into some things that I can do. Plus, I can do them on my own time during the week. I have more time to do it. And so that's been really good.
I don't think I ever had a clear path that I expected to follow in retirement. It was more fun to see where life unfolded. And that's why I think there was such wisdom. A friend that had retired about a year before I did said, don't make too many commitments too soon. And that was good advice, wise advice. And I think it's been fun to see where retirement has taken me. And you don't fail in retirement. You might shift gears and say, no, that didn't work real well, and try another direction. But it's really yours to use as you want to, as the Spirit leads you. Paul, you want to comment?
Yeah, I'll see if I can use this.
I'd have to say that I'm still figuring it out, and it's been just about 2 years. And I'm actually pretty happy with that. I have been available to do a number of things, some of which Pastor Vern asked me to do too. you're sensing a theme here among this group anyway. But I've been very comfortable with being able to do a lot of reading, just learning things for learning's sake, visiting with my parents, spending better time with Annette, and just working on contacts with other people. And I have a long ways to go with that, I feel like. But those are things I had thought I'd want to focus on, and I kind of still figuring it out.
Okay, I have one thing. I decided to go on... it's called Road Scholar now. It was called Elder Hostel. And we drove out to Quebec, and we were going hiking in Quebec. And as we were going out there, we passed Jay Peak, which is ski resort. And my husband looked at me and he said, do you think we're going to walk up there? And I said, this is an elder hostel. I doubt it. The second day we were on Jay Peak walking. But that elder hostel has, I tell you what we've done since then. We cross-country skied in Finland. We hiked in Switzerland. We biked in France. We hiked in Sweden. We hiked in Norway. We did cross-country and downhill skiing in Quebec. I did a language course in Quebec. We did golfing in Arizona. We did the Grand Parks in the West. We've done spring flowers in the East. In September, we're going to Upper Michigan to do a trip. I mean, it just goes on and on. The only thing is I say with the Elder Hostel, which is Rhodes Scholar now, it has gone up in price, but I guess everything has. But it used to be extremely reasonable.
I was just going to mention, too, as far as how retirement is different than what I originally planned, and it's a small thing, but I always thought that once we retired that we would travel more. You know, there's lots of places that I'd love to go see. That's really lost its importance to me. First of all, I don't feel like I've got time to travel the way I thought I was going to, but I don't need to go to these destinations. If I get the opportunity to go somewhere, I will go, but there aren't any places that I feel like I have to get to.
I was going to add about cross-country skiing. I've skied with Duane and Eddie Murra, and I recall I said to Duane one time, I said, can you see how far ahead Eddie is? No, he said, she's beyond our vision. But Duane has spent his retirement trying to catch up to Eddie, and it hasn't worked. But I'm going to say a great program that I discovered along the way in retirement was Learning is Forever. It's a life program. It's under the umbrella of RCTC and the University of Minnesota. But it's centered out of the Heinz Center on the east end of town. But a tremendous variety of programs. If you like history, if you like to do some travel up to the Chanhassen or to the History Center in the cities, a lot of programs every week. I'll be going tomorrow to a couple of them. There are so many opportunities like that available that it's a matter of finding them and asking questions. And one other little thing that has really enriched my retirement the last 3 years, I never took time to drink coffee with friends before. Every Tuesday morning, from 10 to 12 of us get together at Panera's, and we have the most delightful hour, and it is something I look forward to. Not programmed, but it happens, and it's an enriching part of life. We invited Tim Moline, and Tim comes.
The Learning is Forever, there is a link on the resource sheet, too, to that website.
Other questions?
I guess while we're waiting for questions, I need to tell another Addie story, too, because, again, everybody wants to be like Addie. She had a knee replaced 4 years ago. And when you've had a major surgery like that, you get together with a doctor after a short time, and they want to see how you're doing. And one of their typical questions is, well, how far can you walk? To Addie, it was like the question didn't make any sense. It's like, well, how many miles do you want me to go?
What's the downside of retirement?
Anyone know of any? I can't find one personally. I highly recommend it to everyone who asks me, but
I think that, you know, if you need good health, I think taking care of yourself, exercise, taking care of yourself before retirement physically is a terribly important thing. I hate to think, you know, my mom did not have a good retirement. spent 7 years in a nursing home. So I think that's an issue, is where you're at right now, how you're taking care of yourself.
One of my questions, we had heard at the beginning some of the things that you were doing in retirement, and I guess it's related to just following those passions. You know, Steve, you talked about writing poetry, and Annette, you've been doing all sorts of creative things. I'd love to hear just a little bit more about following some of those passions and what that feels like when you do that. So if you can speak to that, and if you can't, I understand that too, but we could start with Steve. He's got passions to write poetry and lots of other things.
Well, for me, I need time to just sit and reflect, and I think sometimes for me there's been a piece of music that's just made me wonder about something, and so to be able to have that time to really ponder and it seems like for me I need to take time to kind of go slowly. And listen to myself and try to reflect on what I'm feeling and then to be able to process that with others. And that's been a really great thing. I think that what Dwayne's saying too about having friends, having a spouse that you can talk to, kids to talk to. And it in the midst of that, our kids are growing up. To be able to even notice how the kids are starting to worry about me or to think about me and to see that kind of come around and to just have time to be really mindful.
I was going to mention too that when you're employed, you get your reward through your paycheck, you get your coworkers that know what you're doing, and you get recognition for things that you accomplish. When you retire, you don't have that anymore. But for me, it's in the projects that I've worked on, the sense of accomplishment with each one that I've finished, feel really good about it, but also knowing that I can do these on my own time, I can meet my own criteria, I decide what's good enough. Let's see, I was going to mention something else about that too, but I can't remember what it was. but just the recognition and reward, for the things that you're working on is great. Oh, I know what else. The other thing that I'm just thrilled with in retirement is actually finishing projects. I've always worked on big projects, but I usually found another project I needed to do before I got the one done. And now I'm actually completing them, and that's wonderful.
It's kind of nice for me to be able to have something to do on my my honey-do list, and I can actually get it done right away, rather than waiting and putting it on my own list to get done at some later time. So having the flexibility and to do something, one thing is my passion is golf. I love golf. And now I can play golf with Dwayne Hovind on Tuesday morning rather than waiting till late Friday afternoon when I might be able to sneak out of work early. So that's a passion of mine. I have actually found a new passion, and John Steckles helped me a little bit here, fly fishing. Something I had never done, never felt I had the time to do, and joined the fly fishing group here about 3 weeks ago. And John and I last week went out, and he showed me how to fish. And I was lucky enough to catch a little trout. So it was that kind of made my day. So those kind of things I think are wonderful.
About 2 years after retirement, my wife invited her cousins to our home here in Rochester, and I think 48 people gathered in our home, and I heard more stories about her family, and I decided to see if I could write up the story of her family, and that began a whole new world for me. I think I have about 15 pieces up in the Minneapolis History Center now that I've written on family histories or people. And that triggered oral interviews. I did about 40 of them here in the congregation at Zumbro and then moved over to my hometown at Zumbrota. And for, I'd say, about 14, 15 years, that has proved to be just an exciting thing to do, to interview people and then write up their story and preserve that in history. That's been that has made my life very rich and fulfilling in retirement.
All of you are professional people. And when you went from a work life to retirement, did any of you go through, who am I? You know, because when people meet you, it's your name is this and you do thus. Did you go through that, and how did you handle that?
I can start with that. I was surprised at how little I missed work. I really was. I enjoyed my job for the most part. It was very rewarding. Got to do some things I never could have imagined doing as part of my job. But when it was time to go, it was time to go. I was fortunate enough, I got to have a long planning cycle. I had chosen to retire in September and retired the end of the following April, so there was a long time to work with the colleagues and things about, you know, arranging it. I guess there's only been, you know, maybe one time I've had a dream about some sense of loss from that. But it's interesting because I've had friends who have had dreams like, oh, you know, a repeated dream of they had colleagues sneaking them into work so they could finish this project that they didn't have a chance to do before and stuff like that. So I think the experience is different for everyone. But the big thing you really end up missing are the people that you ended up, that you worked with. I'm so fortunate to just work with a number of wonderful people, and so I'm still stepping up the trying to make the contacts now to get back with that.
I would just comment that in your work life, you have work associates that you may become very close friends to, and in fact, your life may revolve around all those people that you work around, and your whole social life may be surrounded by them as well. But as you're thinking about retirement, I would say that if you can find good relationships outside of work, some good close relationships, I would start working on that as soon as you can, because it'll be important in the transition. And I felt that my transition was very easy because I had so many friends in other places, Zumbro and others, that it was very easy to make that transition.
I experienced a sense of loss at especially some people that I lived deeply with, and especially difficult situations with death, and so I missed them. I could see them, and I remember what we went through together, and so I did miss that. I just missed seeing those people, but then I also have connected with Seasons Hospice, which has been a wonderful connection for me.
I was kind of glad that people didn't recognize me as a nurse anymore, because otherwise it seems like a lot of people would ask you, you know, questions, you know, what should I do for this, or my dad has this, and I thought, oh, thank the Lord, I'm through with that.
Any other questions? We're getting close to time, and again, we want to honor that, but... Well, thank you very much.
I'd like to add one comment.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
Paul just sent me an email one day and said he was planning this kind of an event and asked if I would be willing to sit on the panel, and it's on. I want to commend you, Paul, for this is an idea whose time has come, I think. It's obvious by the attendance tonight. But I think the fact that you've started it, you've generated some interest, you've done a lot of thinking, I want to commend you for taking the lead and moving out on this. I think it's been significant, and I thank you for it.
Well, thanks, Dwayne. You need to know that while he didn't ask me to do this, it was Pastor Vern's idea that we have some retirement transition, because it is an important topic for a lot of people. Well, if you would, please fill out the feedback form before you go. We'd like to use that as a springboard here to plan other activities in the future, which may or not involve me, so. You can just leave the feedback forms right on the tables then when you're done. Thanks again, and again, be sure to relish retirement's possibilities. There's just a lot to look forward to.